is Mark Weber? He's a self-made business executive here to help you find your success. From the New York City projects to the Avenue Montaigne in Paris, his global success story in the luxury world of fashion is inspirational. He's gone from clerk to CEO twice. Mark is classic proof that the American dream is alive and well. Here's your host of Always in Fashion, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber. This is business. This is always in fashion. This world, this complicated world we live in, has always been difficult. Never easy to navigate through and troublesome to get to the truth. I think you'd all agree with that. With the advent of diverse opinions on the opposite side of the spectrum, with little agreement between opposing views, if we add in the political correctness stifling any opportunity for discussion, the risks, the name-calling, the new in our lexicon, fake news, it's difficult. No, it's impossible to get to the truth. That song talked about taking you to the other side. There's a phrase I want to use. It's almost hard to say, but here it is. I want to disabuse you of that notion. It's a concept that attempts to disabuse or persuade someone that their idea or a belief, a notion, is mistaken. To disabuse someone of a notion is to cause someone to no longer have the wrong idea. Disabuse you of that notion, get you straight. I've been thinking about communication in careers, business, and life, and the mistakes in thinking we all may have. It's hard enough to form an opinion and impossible to get you to change it once you have one. Nonetheless, I believe it's important for me to try. And with that in mind, tonight's show will be a discussion aimed at disabusing you of some of those common beliefs that are just not correct, but have ran through the filter of my mind, hopefully in a fun manner that'll get you to rethink some of those things, some of those misnomers you have in life. I want to discuss careers, a touch of fashion, and a point in our lives. Now, this is when I would ordinarily introduce Jesse, but he's not here tonight. He found something that he thought was more important than being with you and me on the radio show. Usually, he shows up late, but tonight he's not coming at all, so I am going to give him a little grief for that. Hey, Jesse, this is your father, you know, Daddy Mark. You're not with me. You left me solo. So here we go. I want to talk, first of all, about disabusing you of those notions. Now, the first thing I want to talk about, I can't help it. We're in the fashion world, and I want to talk about what happened with Dolce & Gabbana in China. You guys aware of what happened to Dolce & Gabbana in China? What a story. Before I go there, I have to be careful, because the notion I want to disabuse you of is that sometimes people think they're clever. Sometimes people think they're funny, and sometimes they think they're making the right impression. And in the case of those two, my gosh, did they make a mistake. Now, I have to give you a qualifier before we get going. I am a friend of China. That's not a title I gave to myself. They gave it to me early on. I started traveling to China. I don't want to date myself here, but in the early 80s, I was there probably before anyone you know or anyone you can even dream of. I pretty much followed myself and my company, Nixon and Kissinger, after they opened up China to the Western world. I was there. I was there with technicians. I was there with engineers. I was there with the most important thing of all, a big checkbook. I bought a lot of product from China. I was in the shirt business. They never made shirts for destination in the United States. They didn't know how to import. Frankly speaking, in order to sell product to the United States, everything they did had to change. But we didn't care. They had the labor force, they had the desire, and let's face it, they had great prices. And because of that, we went in and brought all the supporting personnel to teach China not how to make good shirts, because listen, they have a billion people there and they're all wearing shirts, but to make shirts that were acceptable at the quality level and the style and what was respected of a global exporter of product, particularly to the United States and Europe. We were there first, teaching them mass production our way, the way of the world, if you will. And at that time, because I was there early, because I came consistently, because I was there 2 to 4 times a year for a serious number of years, buying significant long runs of product with the Van Heusen label, frankly, a label that was very prestigious and a label that they coveted and a label that helped put them on the shirt map for exporting, I was considered a friend of China. And to this day, I still am. I respect the people. I respect the work ethic, and I respect what they've achieved over the last 20 years. Now, with that as a backdrop, I want to say, I'm about to tell you the story about Dolce & Gabbana in China, and I want to give you a point of view. And I want you to remember, particularly those folks in China, recognize I'm a friend. I don't mean to say or take a different course of action that you might think. This is my qualifier. I am a friend of China. Those were your words. Now, here's the thing about doing business in foreign countries. I want to disabuse you of a notion. Yes, you're not funny. Don't think you're clever. I can tell you, whenever I'm happy, really happy, I start to think I'm funny and I get myself in trouble. When you travel to foreign countries, you have to be very careful. It's important for you to understand and know what the culture is all about. You have no alternative. Now, I must tell you, my radar screen and my understanding of what is acceptable in China and not is just not current. I haven't been there in many, many years. So what's happened is the culture has changed and the norms have changed and my radar is off. So you can imagine my surprise when I saw that there was an uproar and a backlash against Dolce and Gabbana for a series of commercials that they ran on the internet and probably on television. Don't hold me to that. And what the commercials were of was a beautiful young Chinese woman eating Italian food with chopsticks. And apparently, this offended everyone in China. I want to take a minute to play something for you.
I'll tell you what I like about Chinese people. They're hanging in there with the chopsticks, aren't they? You know, they've seen the fork. They're staying with the sticks. I'm impressed by that. I don't know how they missed it. Chinese farmer gets up, works in the field with a shovel all day. Shovel, spoon, come on. There it is. You're not plowing 40 acres with a couple of pool cues.
That was Jerry Seinfeld. I'll never forget hearing him do that at a concert and laughing my head off. I've been eating with chopsticks for so long. I'm proud that I've been able to master them. I'm proud. I tell you, every time I eat Chinese food, every time I eat Japanese food, every time I've eaten Korean food for the last, call it 20, 25 years, I won't eat unless I'm eating with chopsticks. I don't know what it is. The food seems to taste better. I'm proud that I'm dexterous enough to be able to use them. And then when I'm sitting in the restaurant, having spent all that time in Asia and being taught how to manipulate and eat with chopsticks, I'm proud. And to this day, I still do it. If I can in Chinese restaurants, for sure. If I'm in an Italian restaurant and they're serving me spaghetti, I have been known to bring my own chopsticks to eat them there. But could you imagine the uproar of this commercials that Dolce & Gabbana ran with this beautiful Chinese woman eating Italian food, pizza, cannolis, pasta, and she was struggling. And all of China was insulted. The whole country. They were there for a fashion show. The fashion show got canceled. Every single store in China that was carrying Dolce & Gabbana stopped carrying it. I don't know what they're doing with the merchandise, but there is a backlash the likes of with you never to be seen. Now, I want to disabuse you of a notion. That's the conversation for tonight. Don't be funny if you don't know what you're being funny about. You see, the culture may have changed in China, Dolce & Gabbana. They may have different points of views than they did, and they found this offensive. I can tell you, I don't know why. You heard my perspective on chopsticks, but maybe my information is old. But I have to tell you, whoever your advertising agency is, whoever the people that support you in your marketing, and whoever's on your radar screen, you didn't do your homework. You forgot to make sure you understood the culture. Now, I don't know what the future is, but I want to disabuse you right now of any notion that you have. If you're not doing stand-up comedy, if you're not the host of tonight's show, if you're not the host, if your name isn't Jimmy Kimmel, don't think it's okay to be funny. With that, we're going to continue on tonight with I Want to Disabuse You of a Notion.
Always in Fashion.
This is Mark Werper. This is Always in Fashion. In 1998, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Taryn Rose brought comfort to the world of luxury shoes. She was trained as a surgeon and knew that women deserve to feel comfortable in their shoes and develop shoes that were designed to make the human body comfortable. She partnered with design experts and tech innovation to create a collection of shoes that looked beautiful and yet they were incredibly comfortable. Taryn Rose footwear is about luxurious materials, sophisticated silhouettes, and comfort. They feature innovative comfort technology. Ladies, you want to be comfortable in your shoes. You want to be safe in your shoes, but more importantly, you want to look great in your shoes. Taryn Rose, developed by this brilliant surgeon. The Taryn Rose woman is refined and refuses to sacrifice comfort for style, or for that matter, style for comfort. These shoes are perfect for women who think on their feet, but not about their feet. Discover the latest Taryn Rose collection at TarynRose.com. Taryn Rose. The luxury of comfort.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
You know I can be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please tell the phone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. Baby, if I made you mad for something I might have said, please don't forget my past. The future looks bright ahead. Don't be cruel to who heart is true. I don't want
this is Mark Weber. This is Business Tonight on Always in Fashion. And I am being a touch cruel to you tonight because the subject matter I picked is disabusing you of a notion. The idea that what you've believed in and what you think is right is just wrong. You're mistaken. And I'm trying to make sure you understand the concept of disabuse you of this notion and at the same time have some fun along the way. Before I get into what is a very big subject, I have another thing in life that really I found fascinating. The other day, I was home with a bunch of friends and family. One of the guys we hang with, his name is Kobe. And he goes to me, like a Jerry Seinfeld thing. I play Jerry Seinfeld. He says, what's with the capitals on your LinkedIn messages? I said, what? He says, what's with the capitals? So here's where I found out a very important lesson. I go on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn. I have a lot of people interested in me and the show. And every week, once I establish the show, once I know what I'm going to talk about, I do a message on LinkedIn telling my audience and or the followers what I intend to talk about. And what I do is I write the whole thing in capitals. I'm doing it so it stands out and it can be seen. So this fella says to me, what are you angry at? What are you doing? Why are you putting everything in capitals? I said, what? He says, it's not the way you do things. You're kidding? He said, no, it looks wrong. It looks like you're angry. I can't believe this is where the world is right now. So on a subject of night of disabusing you of this notion, Let me give you where I'm at, okay? In this world, it's so hard to break through the clutter. There's so many messages, so many things going on. The whole key to marketing and advertising is breaking through the clutter. If you think what you see during the day, just walking down the street in New York City, all the billboards, all the bus signs, all the taxi cab tops, all the noise, all the sidebars, all the wildings, that's those things that you see on the side of a construction center where they put up posters. All of these things are harassing you, but trying to fight for a few seconds of your time. Every store window, every awning, every neon sign is accosting you to make and break through to you. They're trying to break through the clutter. My text to the 14,000 some odd people that commented on my show last week, they're there to catch your attention. I'm trying to break through the clutter. So Kobe, if you're listening, too bad. I want to disabuse you of this notion. I'm being seen. Now maybe you all out there think I'm angry, but I'm not. Just trying to catch your attention. So tonight, let's get into what I really wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about disabusing you of a notion. This one's all about business, and it's an important one because it embraces your career and it spans right across and bridges into your life. I want to disabuse you of a notion that I don't care what people think. Every one of us has said that. Every one of us is so proud to talk about, I don't care what anyone thinks. I am my own woman. I am my own man. I am in charge. I do what I want to do for me. I want to disabuse you of that notion. I've lived with this notion in my head that I don't care what people think for as long as I can remember. I've always felt that I do things for me. My style is mine. The way I dress is for me. Yes, I have an awareness of all my surroundings. I'm going to wear a tuxedo or a dinner suit to a black tie event, not a brown suit, because it's the right thing to do. But again, it's for me. I don't believe in cursing. I don't think swearing is appropriate anywhere at any time. I'm not naive. I'm not a Boy Scout. I'm not Dudley Do-Right. I think cursing is ugly. I think many of you believe it signals that you're a tough guy or you're an independent woman. I think cursing is low class, period. Once again, this is for my persona, for nobody else's. It's who I want to be and the signals that I'm sending. At this stage of my career, the independence, financial security, maturity, take your pick. I'm a mentor, a teacher, a career counselor, and generally, a good guy to people. Why not? I'm above it all now. I have nothing to lose, only to help and feel good about helping others and myself. I think about this. It's all about me. I don't care what anyone thinks. The question is that true? Is there anyone, let alone me, who really lives on that theory? That you don't care, you're on an island by yourself, you're not caring what anyone thinks. I find myself eating dinner alone a lot for a number of reasons. If you follow the show, you might know why, but I eat dinner out by myself a lot. I find myself in restaurants that I frequent, and very often I'm in a restaurant and someone I know comes over to me. And when they see me eating alone, are you okay, Mark? Do you want to join us? I don't like seeing you sit here alone. Come, join us. These people couldn't be nicer. Their motives are pure. I get it, and I appreciate it, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. And those of you who've approached me with this, and you're listening tonight, I won't say I love you for it, because that's not my style, but I tell you, I am grateful that you are interested in me and you're willing to offer me. But I can't stand the feeling that anyone looking at me is feeling sorry for me for being alone. Some might say, as my son Jesse does to me, oh, Jesse, you're not here tonight. I forgot. that I care about what people think. I mean, that's the only way to explain it. If you're looking at, you know, the way people are reacting to you and it's bothering me that they think you're lonely or needy, you obviously care about what people think. And I said, I don't care what they think. I have game. I have style. I'm sitting there alone because I want to be. I have my phone. I have me to keep me interested. I'm writing my shows. I'm thinking about what's going on. I don't mind being alone. But there are life lessons. You know, going out without makeup, you ladies, yeah, you could say you don't care if anyone sees you, but come on. You're out there without makeup, you're exposing yourself. And if you run into the right or the wrong people, it's going to bother you. I go out unshaven, unkept, etc., wearing stupid clothes, which I do. You know, if I run into the wrong person, I say I don't care, but do I? The concept here is I'm disabusing you of a notion, and the notion that we don't care what people think of us is just wrong, and that's what I'm trying to do. I have a story. In my early days, I was a cool guy. I thought I was, but I was a cool guy. I thought I was. I felt it. That's all that mattered. I was different. I had a talent that was unique. People knew it. I knew it. Did it go to my head? Perhaps. The issue was I was smart, I was fast, and I knew my stuff. The problem was I didn't understand that everyone needed to feel special, not just me. In these early days, I became an officer of my company and the corporation, and I was very young. I had many people working for me. I was responsible for people. Frankly, I didn't understand that. My wife, she tried to get through to me. I never listened. I had the credentials. I had the talent. I had the title. It was all about me. I don't care what anyone else thinks. I never missed anything. I knew what I was doing, and I had the talent to get it done. However, I did have ups and downs, and the downs always came down to the way I conducted myself, particularly early in my career, the politically insufficient early Mark Weber. In this case, I want to talk about people liking me for me. Should you care what people think? Because the notion in business is it doesn't matter what people think about you if you're the boss. I'm going to disavow you of that notion. I need to correct you. There is a saying we've all heard. Respect the office, if not the person. I was always taught that. There are no flukes in business. If someone gets there, they deserve to be there. The boss deserves to be there. It doesn't signify whether they'll be successful at that job, because it's very complicated to be successful when you're the boss. It's all sitting with you. But the office they hold should always be respected. Me, your friend and host, I learned the hard way the importance of what people think of you. And one time, in one of my down periods, I was removed from a very high-profile job. No one questioned my vision, my abilities, the strategy, the effort I put forth. They just didn't want to work for me. It was my attitude. It was just off. I wasn't respecting balance in people's lives, and I was demanding, and it didn't go over well, and I was removed from that assignment. And even worse, and even more importantly, I didn't recognize the need to share the credit for a job well done and the contributions of a team. I just didn't respect people enough. That was the worst. I was the worst. And I took a fall. I wasn't fired. I was demoted. I never forget that my boss and mentor tried to talk to me, and he said to me, I kept telling you, you need to consider the people around you. I didn't listen. My wife told me over and over again, it's not about you. She saw me and she sensed how people around me respected me but didn't like me. But I didn't listen to her. I didn't listen because I didn't think it mattered. Now I need to restate what we're talking about right now as I go through this story. I want to disavow you of the notion that it doesn't matter what people think about you. Because the example I just gave you was all about what people were thinking about me. And I want to disabuse you of this notion. No matter how big you are, no matter how high up you are in the organization, it matters what people think of you, and you have to care. I took a fall. I want to remind you that all around you, people are listening and watching. The people that work for you are hoping you respect them and treat them well. They're trusting that the company gave you this job because you appreciate people. I've learned my lesson the hard way. But I will tell you, over the course of my career, I was also very, very proud when I finally woke up. I can't tell you how many people I took in the mailroom, watched them, they impressed me, and they became executives. I can't tell you how many administrative assistants became important executives with our company. I can't tell you how many people have come up to me or to my children and tell them how their father made them successful and gave them a chance when no one else would. And I was always proud of what I did in this regard. So I did learn my lesson. But that's not the end of the story. I want to give you the best part of the lesson. And the lesson we're discussing tonight is I'm disabusing you of a notion. The notion that it doesn't matter what people think about you. You need to regroup, retool, and rethink that. Not too long ago, a huge CEO job came up in a high-profile CEO position. They needed someone, a CEO, to come in and turn the company around. If there's anything I'm good at, forgetting the radio, I'm a turnaround artist. You can tell me the company's sick, it's not working. If it's in the fashion, luxury, retail field, I can fix it. That's what I've done my whole life. This was the perfect opportunity for me. If they needed someone fixing this company, there was no one else that could do it better than me. I'm an expert. I wanted this job. I was perfect for it. I went on the first interview. I met with the interim CEO. I was introduced to him and recommended to him. He was also the chairman of the board. The search firm and the headhunter who put me there told me I was a lock. It was done. This job was mine. A few days went by. I called the headhunter and asked what was going on. She asked me if I knew a fellow. I'm going to change his name. She asked me if I knew a fellow named Gerard Stern. Rang a bell. I couldn't remember. I said, maybe. Why? She said he was on the board of directors, and he's the head of the nominating committee running the search for this job. Apparently, 30 years ago, your boss and mentor introduced you to him, and you blew him off, or you acted like a wise guy, or disrespectfully, you were just so full of yourself, you turned this guy off. I don't have the exact story, but I can tell you, he blackballed you, and you're not getting the job. It didn't matter that I'm not that man any longer. I spiked the football. I danced in the end zone. I hit the home run and stood at home plate and watched it go over the stands. I obnoxiously carried the bat with me to first base. I didn't care what people thought. I learned. I was discouraged to find that the notion that it doesn't matter what people think of you just isn't true. We'll be back in a moment.
Always in fashion.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. And my favorite shoe brand, Acquitalia. Acquitalia is a very interesting shoe brand. Made in Italy. That's where the Talia comes from. And Acqua, they're waterproof. This is a collection of men's and women's shoes that are not only contemporary and styled brilliantly, but they're also waterproof. So you guys and gals, you don't have to change your shoes in inclement weather. And I should tell you how comfortable they are. Not only are they fashion and style right, but they're comfortable. You can wear them wherever you go. Acquitalia designs are contemporary, yet there's a classic feel to them. They're easy to wear. They're elegant, yet they're for every day. High quality and low maintenance. The true foundation of timeless wardrobe. Something you could wear every day and not worry about it. Acquitalia is footwear that is made for discerning men and women who make bold moves and want to look their best without sacrificing fashion or comfort. You should explore the latest collection of Acquitalia.com. Acquitalia has amazing styles, beautiful fabrics, beautiful silhouettes. You should really look for them. You can find and explore Aquatalia's latest collection at aquatalia.com or visit the flagship store at 965 Madison Avenue in Manhattan. Aquatalia, AQUATALIA. Wherever the weather goes, they will take you. Made in Italy and waterproof. The best combination.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion. This is Business Tonight. Our show tonight actually has a subtitle. I want to disabuse you of that notion. That's a theory. Hard words, hard sentence to say, disabuse you of that notion. What it means is something you believe is just not right. And I'm attempting to straighten you out because you're mistaken. I wanted to talk about now the fashion industry. I've talked life, I've talked business. Let's talk a little about fashion, luxury, retail, particularly retail. I want to disabuse you of the notion that brick and mortar, those stores you know, are finished, gone forever. It's all going to be online. I had an interesting experience, actually, on Black Friday. Curtis Sliwa, the man, WABC's anchor during the day, one of the great, great radio broadcasters. You ever listen to him? Guy is so smart. He's the founder of the Guardian Angels. I really respect him for that. But on top of it, he's this radio broadcaster. And not only doesn't he miss a beat, he never fumfers, he never misses anything. He talks so fluently, but he has his own language. He has this own street language that it's just impossible to keep and follow. He has more expressions than anyone I ever met in my life. I love listening to him. Make a long story short, Curtis and the team wanted me to come on the air with him and talk about shopping in Black Friday. And I did. And I'm about to play it for you now. I want you to hear this interview.
Today is Black Friday. Has nothing to do with your month of February where every day is devoted to you, Dominic Carter. But the sales that are happening fast and furiously in brick and mortar facilities, retail shops, mom and pop shops, mid-level size, anchor stores, the whole nine yards, and naturally online. And there's no better person to discuss all of that with us than Mark Weber. He's part of our family here at WABC. He's the host of Always in Fashion. You catch him first Saturday, 8 to 9, and then so nice they do it twice, Sunday from 5 to 6. He's the former CEO of the parent company of Calvin Klein. Thanks for joining us again, Mark.
Hey, Curtis, how you doing?
Well, I'm not doing so well because we have a fashionista clash here, and you are an expert at menswear. As you know, Mark, when you and your son come in to do your program, you see me always wearing red, right?
Yes, looks good on you. Tough guy.
Dominic is wearing a red sweater.
Oh.
And that's a clash. God. That is a clash with me, Mark.
Mark, I need you to help me, man. Help me out.
Hey, you know, it'd be my pleasure. That's what I do all day long. I look at people and I know what they're doing wrong and I know how to fix them.
So Curtis says that I should not have worn red today. I have on a red V-neck sweater. And I never wear sweaters, but I wore one today.
Are you a cool guy?
A cool guy. Well, that depends on who's asking and who's answering.
I'm asking you because if you're a cool guy, you're not wearing a red sweater.
Oh, man.
You want to look good in that studio? You wish you were a black pair of pants, a black sweater, white shirt, and you're going to look like you own the world.
So wait, say that again. Black pants.
Black sweater, V-neck. You like V-necks? I heard
yes.
you just say.
Yes,
white
yes,
shirt,
yes.
You look like $1 million.
See, that's what I'm going to do.
Like you own the world.
See that? See that?
Okay.
And cool. You see, Mark, for men in your profession and others and women, especially people who are buyers out there, who it's like make or break for them this time of year. If they had to depend on gavones like me, Mark, who wear the same freaking outfit every day, you'd all be declaring Chapter 11 bankruptcy, right?
Hey, listen, men like uniforms. For our entire lifetime, that uniform was a suit, a shirt, and a tie. That was good enough to keep this business going. Then Casual Fridays came, and it changed the rules. People are wearing whatever they need to wear now, but they can't forget that when they're working, they're still in business, they're still competing with the guys sitting next to them. So they have to look right. And not only that, the bosses are watching everyone, so you still got to have a look, and you got to have your look down pat.
Well, there was a recent survey, Mark Weber, that, in fact, employees believe that if you're a well-dressed man or well-dressed woman on the job, you have a heads up on getting a promotion as opposed to someone who's a plain Jane or a plain John. Have you seen that, in fact, in your career?
I talk about this all the time. If you want to be successful, you got to put a lot of things together to get to the top, or even do the best you can with whatever gifts God gave you. That includes the way you look. It shouldn't matter, but it does. You're competing. And if you have any idea about getting ahead, you got to know how to look your best. That doesn't mean that we're all could be 6'2" or blonde and beautiful. It doesn't work that way. But looking your best matters. And I give the following advice. If you're working for a company and you're not quite sure how you should be dressing, look at the boss, look at the president, look at the CEO, look at your manager. They're sending the signals that what leads a company and how you should be looking. And you're entitled to have your own interpretation of that. But you need to understand that you're a business and everything you do relates to your chance to get ahead.
All right,
might
but,
not be fair, but that's life.
Right, but Mark, let's say there are a lot of companies that are in transition. They're either merging, being bought out, foreign entities, domestic entities. The new crew comes in. But you were the top earner, and you're a real slob, Slominski. You know, when it comes to dressing, you're like Greasy Thumb Gusick, who used to handle the books for Al Capone. But you are the top earner. You're out there. You're making more scatterol than anyone else. You mean to tell me all of that is factored out?
No. Everything matters about being successful. You know, even if you're the head guy, you're setting the code for the rest of your company. You're setting the right signals, so you have to look a particular way. Now, there are companies that people just don't care. You know, if you're in the Silicon Valley and the more messed up you're looking, the more cool you are and the deeper in thought people think you are, but maybe. But in real world that we look in, there is a rule, and the better you position yourself, my line is exactly how you package yourself is as important as the products you package. And a lot of things go into that, and certainly dressing is one of them.
Well, Mark Weber, you talked about the reality. Well, right before we went to you, the top of the news hour, a female correspondent was telling us that yesterday, Tom Turkey Day, $3.7 billion was spent online while people were eating their turkey or their tofu turkey. How can brick-and-mortar stores, old mom-and-pop stores, compete with that?
All right, give you some statistics before I even go there. They have a day in China now called Singles Day. There's a company that's their version of Amazon called Alibaba. One day, they set the record, $31 billion in sales were done in one day. Now, they're projecting that the total sales for our Black Friday week, if you will, is going to be about $1 trillion. There are all kinds of ways to get at that money. There's no question that people are sitting in their house and using devices to buy. The advent of the cell phone and their ability to go on with your cell phone now is across the board. Everyone's figuring out how to do that, and that is making sales extraordinary online. But that aside, people are also thinking about their lives and they want experiences. People are shopping. You look at the malls today, they're filled with every kind of human you can find, including millennials, because they want that experience. So there's going to be a balance about how things are purchased. My money is on online. It can't go high enough. Nobody knows where it's going. But the well-run stores, the stores that understand who their customer is, the stores that have the right size and value for their customers, they're going to do their fair share. It's not going away so fast.
Now, Mark Weber, as you know, right across the river from us, Hudson County, is the Mall Haven, Bergen County. But they have the Blue Laws. And in fact, they had one mall yesterday, proudly in Hackensack, Riverside, that said, we're closed all day. And they didn't open up their doors till 9 in the morning today, on Friday. They didn't do the pre-opening, you know, like 4 in the morning. They didn't open up, you know, on Thanksgiving. Can a mall like that, with such overwhelming competition from others, survive and make enough to stay in business?
Whoever's running that mall, I have to tell you, is extraordinarily courageous. And I don't know what their board of directors are thinking about a move like that. Closing for Black Friday or for Thanksgiving, it's the right thing to do. I'm sitting in my corner office as the CEO. I'm struggling. What do I do with my stores? Do I leave them open or close them? I'll tell you what, I'm going to leave them open.
All right. Now, what is the benefit? Explain to me overall, because I'm just thinking that you're just bifurcating the money that might normally be spent.
Well, if you talk about luxury goods, you know, my former life, I was with Louis Vuitton, Moet Hennessy for 9 years. They're not worried about sale prices. They're worried about quality and their history and their integrity. You want a Louis Vuitton handbag, you're never going to be able to buy it off price. But you're also going to get your fair share because people respect luxury. So they're not going to lose out. People are going to want to give luxury products as gifts no matter how many hours they're open, and they're going to find it. But in the malls that you were talking about, you're talking about where they compete very often on price and value. And yes, within the mall, you'll find the Louis Vuitton or Dior, and they'll be straight up and down, no discounts.
And Mark, would you please strongly advise my co-host today, Dominic Carter, not to take your advice on Louis Vuitton and think that he could go down to Little Nigeria off 23rd Street and Broadway or Canal Street and buy a knockoff and everyone's not going to know it's a knockoff?
Look, you know, here's the problem with counterfeiting. If the government can't stop drugs coming into this country, how are they going to stop counterfeit handbags? They can't. But there is a difference. And I support only buying luxury products from luxury dealers. That's the way of the world, and that's the right thing to do.
But wait, but before Mark goes, I want to go back to
sure,
the first
sure,
comment
absolutely,
that he
absolutely.
Made to me. I want to know that outfit again. You said black
All right,
pants.
Here we go. Let me ask you a question. What color suit were you wearing every day?
Normally, I have on a black or a dark blue suit, and all my friends, they say, oh, you dress so conservative. You dress like a – they say that I dress like a white man in my 60s.
Yes, you do.
I'm going to teach you something. Here we go. Listen, in this world, there are only two kinds of dresses. Let's not forget whether you have good taste or not. Either a Navy guy, which is all traditional, and you like Navy red and white, or you're a modern guy who likes black and charcoal. Sounds to me, if you're wearing dark colors, you're more of the modern guy. So when you're dressing casually, you should be wearing modern colors. There aren't that many to choose from. There's dark navy, there's black, there's charcoal gray, and in the summer I'll forgive you and let you go with light gray. Use those as your base colors and you accessorize off of that, and you're going to look like a modern contemporary guy who knows what he's doing.
Well, I appreciate that because he really looks like an undertaker. I feel like I'm going to a wake and he's meeting me at the door, and I'm like, Dominic, you're like, oh my
his
God.
His shirt is pressed, his pants are the right length, and he's wearing the right shoes. Guys have to wear the right shoes. You can see him, Curtis. I can't. If he's wearing clodhoppers, I can't tell you what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, he's wearing those earth shoes, you know, the earth shoes. Oh, yeah. Dominic, come on, man. Those are roach killers. Those are roach killers. Dominic, come on. From his days in the projects. Anyway, Mark Weber. Great show,
great
Saturdays,
show. Thanks,
8 to
Mark.
9. He and his son, and sometimes and many guests, on the world of fashion and business, most importantly, Sunday 5 to 6. It's always in fashion. Mark is the former CEO of the parent company of Calvin Klein and is a guy who's in the know.
That was Curtis Sliwa and Dominic Carter and me, your friend from Brooklyn, talking street, giving advice on the future of retail. I want to remind you, the purpose of this show is to disabuse you of a notion. That's the title, which is basically a way of saying a fancy way of saying, a corporate way of saying, you are mistaken, that you need to change the way you're thinking. And right now I want to continue discussing the future of retail. The retail business is extraordinary right now, in spite of all the discussions and all the things that are going on, and the world is going to end for retail. It's not. The best of the best are doing amazing. And even just the okay are doing pretty good right now, because America has money. Let's not forget, the Trump administration lowered the tax rate for businesses and for people. And it's having an impact. Even the most diehard Democrat has to admit that the economy is working. People are making more money. They have more money in the paycheck. Actually, it's extraordinary because the unemployment rates are at all-time low rates. People are working. And let me tell you what that means. As business is growing and people are working, it's become a workers' market. There aren't enough laborers, skilled laborers, to fill the jobs that these companies need right now. When you hear Walmart talking about $11 an hour pay or $15 an hour minimum wage, it's because workers demand it, and if they don't pay it, someone else will get them. It's supply and demand. Retail isn't going away. Online retail, there's no question. I am just saying to you, I'm disabusing you of this concept that there won't be retail any longer. I'll tell you why. First, shopping is still an experience. And what the world found this past week is that millennials find fun in shopping. It's an activity. They want to be entertained. And that's what's happening. So therefore, all of those potential dinosaurs that you call retail stores have woken up, and they have now become empowered, and they're taking new actions, new ideas, new things are going on. I went into Macy's this week, took a look around. They have a new thing called The Market. They're collaborating with Facebook's top products, and they put them on the floor. That's very clever. Just this week, Alexander Wang did a program specifically for Target stores. Pretty amazing. Bloggers, stylists, influencers with products designed by them or recommended by them are catching the attention, and they're drawing them right into our favorite retail stores. Speaking in your store, the growth of pickup online to your stores. This is important because some of you live in apartment buildings and you're afraid you'll never get the products that you purchased. Your packages might get stolen. Stores are fighting back. A lot of good things are going on. You know, there is a value to the real estate they own. And don't forget two things. We like to touch and feel. We're humans, and those are important senses that we have. We like to see, touch, and feel for ourselves. And another human issue is common sense. There's something to be said for walking in a store, looking at the product right there, trying it on, picking it up, holding it on, holding it and touching it. That explains an important facet of retailing. And last but not least, maybe boring, but it's a retail issue. I did a show talking to the Retailers Direct on how to save yourselves, and I talked about close all the stores that don't make sense. For the last 25 years, American retail overbuilt. There are just too many stores and not enough people to support all those stores. If you ever walk through a big department store, there's so much merchandise, tons and tons and tons of merchandise. It's impossible to sell it all. The good news is, people are downsizing retail. I am very confident in the future of retail for all the reasons I've given you so far. And to say in summation, retail is right-sizing, retail is re-editing, retail is curating, retail is embracing technology, and retail is changing at a pace no one ever dreamed they would be able to do. For these reasons and more, I want to disabuse you of the notion that the future of sales to you and me is only going to be on our cell phone. It's just not the case. There will be our favorite retail stores. And before I go away, I have to remind you retailers out there, you have to do your job. You have to be clever. You have to catch our attention. You have to break through the clutter. You have to have the right products, the right brands, the right sizes, the right fit, the right prices. There's no easy lunch here. Money doesn't fall from the skies. It has to be earned here on earth. But for the notion tonight, retail will be here. We'll be back in a moment.
Always in Fashion.
This is Mark Weber from Always in Fashion. I've talked to you before about the Van Heusen Flex Collar shirt, the shirt that moves with you when you move, the unbelievably comfortable Flex Collar expandable collar. I have great news from you from Van Heusen. They have now expanded from Flex Collars to an entire collection of men's sportswear, pants, knitwear, and of course the Flex Collar dress shirt. If you're a casual Friday company, you still have to look right. You're still in business. You're still competing with everyone else around you. Now you could do it in style and comfort. Pants with stretch fabric and stretch technology that allow you to be comfortable whatever your activities are that day. And all the shirts and all the sportswear that you can now buy under that Flex collection are uniquely you. Great looking style, great comfort from Van Heusen, the Flex collection. This is Mark Weber, and this is Always in Fashion. There is a brand called DKNY. It's Donnacara, New York. I am familiar with it. I spent 9 years there as the CEO. If there's one thing I know about that brand, it's fashion and quality at the highest level. DKNY suits are navies, blacks, grays, charcoals. They're sensational. The shirts are whites and blues and beautiful patterns. The neckwear is very, very simple but very elegant. Right up my alley. I love those looks. And what they do for spring is they put in some shots of great color, just the right tone of soft colors to make those fashion products and those basic colors look outstanding. DKNY outerwear also is something to marvel at. You have the right piece of outerwear, it makes a statement, simple, elegant, contemporary, and right, but it tells a story, and DKNY outerwear is amazing. The fall stuff was great. Now the follow-up for spring really, really looks sensational. You can find DKNY at Macy's or online. Go find it. I'm telling you, this is my recommendation. As I said, 9 years working there. I know how good it is.
Welcome back to Always in Fashion. Here's your host, Mark Weber.
In the beginning, I never thought it would be you. When we were chilling, smiling in the photo booth, but we got closer. So you were eating off my spoon. We're going all the way tonight. Take me to the other side.
This is Mark Weber. This is Always in Fashion, and this is business. But we're talking about a serious subject and a clever subject that I actually heard from a young lady I was talking to the other day when she wanted to disabuse me of a notion. And that became tonight's show. Disabuse you of a notion. Or disabuse you of that notion. This is a concept where someone, some group of people, maybe a country, has a belief, and they're just mistaken. I covered it tonight in life, I covered it in business, and I covered it in retail. I thought it was interesting to go through those things, particularly at this time of year when you reevaluate so much of what you've done for the year, when you reevaluate what you've done as a human. I think it's important to always regroup and take measure of yourself. Benjamin Franklin said the smartest man he ever met was his tailor, because every time he met him, he was remeasured. Very interesting. We remeasure people and ourselves all the time. With that as a backdrop, thank you for listening to our show. Look forward to talking with you soon.
Thank you for joining Mark Weber and Always in Fashion. Tune in tomorrow at 5 p.m. This show was sponsored by G3 Apparel and the Van Heusen Company. The views expressed by the preceding program are those of the sponsor and not necessarily the opinions of 77 WABC or Cumulus Media.